Well, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. We're glad to have you joining us here at Since You Asked. I am joined this morning by my illustrious co-host, the ever famous fan favorite, Ben Farley.
Yeah, good to be here. Great to have you guys with us. I think from our last episode, we've become more well known. I don't know that that was
slightly
all positive, but no, go back and check that episode out. Go check all our episodes. But we had a lively discussion in the comment section of our YouTube channel, and I mean this when I say this is not facetious. I really appreciate the engagement. Yes. Really appreciate those people taking time to comment on our video. Some of them, most of them, really level-headed takes. Really gracious in their response. Others hid behind the anonymity that YouTube affords and blasted us. But hey, as you and I talked, YouTube knows no bad engagement.
That's right.
So thank you for helping further Since You Asked. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I should have planned ahead better because I had things going on this weekend, and I'm not as good at making sure to check those comments as you are. And but you sure you're like, yeah, my Saturday morning was spent talking to people on YouTube about this. And
actually it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was a cool conversation to you know, and there were some like, hey, we don't agree. We're gonna debate this a little bit. But for the most part, like, people were really generous, and I tried to reciprocate that. But no, I just think it's one of those, a lot of people, not a lot, there's a few people that were saying, hey, this isn't even a conversation worth having. I think that's a dangerous thought process in all of these topics.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these things. Let's answer questions. Let's ask those questions. So I really enjoyed it. Sometimes I have a, you know, get a sick thrill out of debate, but I really enjoyed it.
Debate isn't the point of this podcast. The point is to start these conversations.
That's right.
And to have them and hopefully to learn a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're not shying away from conversations.
That's right.
Kind of what we're hoping to engage in. So yeah. I felt bad. My weekend was busy. We had Balloon Fest that we were helping out with. And so I didn't get to get in on the conversation like you did.
It's not too late to jump in, man. Although everyone that commented on has probably forgotten about it by now. But no, it was cool. Yeah. I enjoyed interacting with people.
And we do appreciate the comments.
We do, yeah. And whether they meant to or not, like, it does help our podcast, that engagement. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you're wondering, should I engage with these guys? Should I comment on the YouTube channel? Should I share? Should I like it? Please. Like, it really does help this podcast be seen by more people. So just appreciate the engagement. Appreciate you guys taking time to do that. Even if we disagreed, it's cool to have the conversation.
Yeah. And our belief, you know, we will get to further these conversations someday in heaven together. Yep,
absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, that's where we came down on this, is that we're all Christians.
Yep.
We just have some different beliefs on things, and it's part of that conversation. So, I don't know, one thing that we didn't get a lot of feedback on from last episode, but seems to be a fan favorite part of segment of this podcast. Really what this is a coffee podcast.
It is.
Where we discuss a few
faith-related
questions.
That's right.
But we've got another coffee to review this week.
It's a good one.
I'm excited because we are going to review our second different blend of Squirrely Joe's coffee from Olney, Illinois, locally roasted. And this bag was sent to us by, I don't know if it was Squirrely or Joe himself.
I think this particular bag came from Joe.
Okay.
So, one of the co-runners of Squirrely Joe's. But, we really appreciate it, Joe. You sending us this. I know he wasn't even expecting us to review that, but we love the product,
yes.
And so we wanted to do that. We don't make anything from Squirrely Joe's for this. We love what they stand for, and we love the quality of coffee, too.
Yeah, and the fact that he, you know, sent us this bag does not influence our score.
No. He wouldn't want it to.
He wouldn't want it to.
No.
And if there's anything that I want our podcast to be known for, it's that we can rile up some people in the comment section.
Right, yes.
But that we're going to give you an honest assessment of our takes on faith, but definitely coffee.
Yes, absolutely.
And so this will be our honest score, not influenced at all.
Yep.
So today we've got, what do we got here, Ben?
We have got Squirrely Joe's Kindness Blend. Very, very appropriate for our podcast.
Absolutely.
Just a couple kind guys here. But this is from Costa Rica. Is it Tarazu? Is that the region that it's from?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I figured you'd know that.
Yeah, I know that.
And so, yeah, it's a light roast, which I'll say this up front. I'm not a big light roast fan. Okay. So that will play into my score, but I also think you'll see that this is a special light roast. And I have high hopes for Squirrely Joe's. And here's where this kind of pushback against light roast comes from. I've had a lot of light roasts that I will put my normal amount of coffee to water ratio, and it will still come out where I can see through it. And I don't want coffee, you know, essenced water. Like, I want the bold, the real flavor. Yeah. And so,
we're not going through my cup. So. We're not going for LaCroix here.
No,
we want coffee.
Right, right. So, yeah, I have high hopes for Squirrely Joe's Kindness Blend.
Yeah. Well, we say, you know, one sip, everyone knows the rules.
Yep.
I drank some of this yesterday. So.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, well. Not my first go around.
But you planned ahead. Just show prep.
That's right.
Here we go.
I'll let you give your thoughts first.
I mean, it's just standard Squirrely Joe's excellence that you come to expect.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell this is different than the last roast we had, which was, which one did we do? No, the first Squirrely Joe's roast. Wisdom. Okay. That was a dark roast,
yes.
Right? So I can tell the difference between the light roast and the dark roast, but this is hands down better than any other light roast I've had.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm also not a big light roast fan.
It's just often it's not very full bodied.
Mm-hmm.
And now am I correct in the assessment that the light roast has a higher caffeine content?
That is my understanding.
Okay,
the longer roast, it supposedly, you know, some of that dilutes down.
Yeah. It's just great coffee.
It's really good. You know, I will say I think one of the benefits that we have is, you know, Squirrely Joe, they understand. They sent us whole bean coffee.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if there's a roast date on here, but I know that they are locally roasted and probably fairly freshly roasted.
Yeah.
So you're getting coffee at its peak.
Yes. This is not the year and a half old Gevalia that we had last week.
Right.
This is primo stuff here.
We grind this.
Fresh, by hand, by the way. This was hand ground.
Hand grinder. Grind it for the brewing method that we used, which is just drip.
Yeah.
But we grind it for that. So the size is appropriate. And that makes a difference. It really does. People don't think it will, but mm-hmm. it does. And so I do think it really helps with this. I'm a big fan of this. I think I'm going to go 8.4.
Wow. Is that your highest rating?
That's my highest rating. I really, really enjoy this.
Now I'm second guessing, but I'm just gonna give you my first thought that popped in my head.
Yeah.
This is really good. Based on the fact that it's a light roast, which is just not my favorite, but it's still really good. 7.7.
Okay.
And now keep in mind, Folgers is a 5.
Yeah.
Gevalia was a 4.something. 7.7, 8.4 is fantastic.
8.4 is the highest score that either of us have given anything.
Yeah.
7.7 is the third highest.
That's about right.
You gave, obviously, Squirrely Joe's was, Wisdom Blend was our top. Both of us gave it an 8.1.
Yeah.
You gave this one slightly lower at 7.7.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You gave Cafe Brit a 7.9, and I gave it a 7.7. So that one,
okay.
That one is it's right there.
Yeah.
And you spoke in that episode. You're a big fan of Cafe Brit.
I am. Yes. It's
long time.
Sentimental to me.
Yes.
Because it's really what I cut my teeth on, you know, in the coffee world. Yes. So.
So this ranks as your third highest.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the highest. But the scores are all real close.
And for the light roast.
Yeah.
For me personally, 7.7 is really high.
Yeah.
Just because it's just not my preference, but this is really good. So
I think that
the squirrel has done it again is really what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I think what that goes to show, like we were saying, is when you get good quality coffee that's roasted recently.
Yeah.
Whether it's local or not, I mean, it doesn't matter. Roasted recently, freshly ground. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is you're trapping the flavor in, it stays in the bean until the last possible moment. When it's ground ahead of time, the flavor gets lost before you brew it.
Yeah.
So when you grind it as close as you can to when you brew it, more of that flavor comes through. And I think that's what we're seeing is good quality coffee, ground fresh.
Yeah.
It's going to give you a good cup of coffee.
I love that. One, you know exactly who's roasting this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Joe is roasting this coffee.
And his squirrels.
And squirrels, which we don't know how many of them there are. But we know Joe is taking the lead on that. We know what he stands for.
Yeah.
We know that it is quality coffee. And we know that for us, it's local.
Yeah.
And there's just something about that, that you want to support local businesses. But I'll be honest, I want to support local businesses not for just the simple fact of supporting local businesses. I want to support local business that is done really well.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, it's just really good coffee. And so here's what we're going to do. This is just on the fly here. We're going to put a link in the description of this video to go to Squirrely Joe's. Not making anything off of this.
No.
Nothing for us. Mm-hmm. We just believe in this coffee. We love it. And so we want you to enjoy it as well. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. And so in the link or in the description below, we'll put a link to Squirrely Joe's. Go and order a bag. Go and order five. Whatever you want. You will not go wrong with any of his blends.
Yeah. And let them know that the guys that sent you sent you.
That's right.
It's not going to get you anything. It's not going to get us anything.
Yeah.
But just, I think it's beneficial to know, like, that's hey, right. People are listening and
Joe will say, I didn't send those bags of coffee in vain.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. Great, great coffee. Squirrely Joe's kindness blend. I kind of feel like we're a broken record. Just, it seems like every time we're like, man, Squirrely Joe's is just, but we truly do enjoy it.
It is the coffee of choice of the Since You Asked podcast.
Absolutely.
So
thus far, it is the top two.
Yep. Awesome. Well, so speaking of awesome,
yes.
We got a really cool question today.
Yeah.
We had a comment on a couple videos back from a guy I actually know personally, kind of grew up with him, but really, really cool question. And the question is this: how do I strengthen my relationship with God after I haven't been in church for a few years? These are the types of questions that get me pumped up because it indicates there's this measure of seeking, of questioning, like, where do I go from here? And so I absolutely love this question. Dalton, I appreciate you asking, and we're going to do our best to answer this biblically according to the scriptures and to give you the tools that you need to take this next step. And so I am absolutely pumped to answer this question today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great question, and we're going to answer it from a couple different points of view. One, just how do I strengthen my relationship with God?
Yeah.
But also, that's just kind of the general question, but specifically after, you know, as the question says, I've not been in church for a few years.
Yeah.
Where do I kind of begin?
Yeah.
How do I start over this thing?
Yeah.
And so I think that's awesome. My first thought, I go straight to what Jesus says. It's in Matthew,
mm-hmm.
I believe on the Sermon on the Mount. But he's talking about people who are seeking after God.
Yeah.
What do we do? It's in chapter 7 of Matthew. Starting in verse 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same, for this is the law and the prophets. Just that idea of, okay, God, I recognize that, you know, I've not maybe been the most faithful person in seeking after you and following you over the past few years, and I want to change that.
Yeah.
I think God hears and sees your heart mm-hmm. in that, and he's already putting within you that desire to make a change, that desire to see things become different in your life. And so I'd say the first thing you got to do is whatever you feel like God is telling you to do. If he's telling you, okay, you specifically say, not been in church for a few years. Mm-hmm. Maybe God's putting that on your mind, in your heart to say, I got to find a church to get at.
Yeah.
And that first thing you do is you just go.
Go.
You don't have to wait. I think sometimes people get this mentality, and I know I did, when I was kind of far from God, is, man, I got to fix my life so that I can go back to church.
Yeah.
And you don't. You're never going to be able to fix it to where you feel like that. That right there is a something I think from Satan. Mm-hmm. He wants us to feel like we have to fix ourselves before we go back, because he will convince us that we're never quite ready.
Yeah. Oh, and it's this barrier to entry into not just the church, because we're going to talk about this in a minute, that it's not the entity of the church that saves you. It's just the sacrifice of Christ that is where your salvation hinges upon. But there is this barrier to entry in a lot of people's minds of, man, I got to get a lot of stuff figured out before I can ever walk in there. And that saddens me. Mm-hmm. I totally understand where that thought process comes from, but it's sad that we've kind of perpetuated this idea of, man, you better look and act and handle yourself in a certain way in order to come in. Because I think what we've done, and I'm not trying to bash the church in this, I think this thought process often comes from an outsider's view. I'm looking to the people of the church, and I see the difference in the way I'm living and the way I suppose that they're living. And I go back to the beginning part of the gospel is actually the bad news. Like, that's where the gospel message starts.
Yeah.
It starts with the bad news. And that bad news is really found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And I think this is what you have to view the church through as you're kind of wondering, do I deserve to step into this? And again, I don't want to make it about the church. What we're really saying is, do I deserve the grace of Christ? Here's the answer to that. Verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. So when you're wondering, man, have I done enough? Have I cleaned up enough? Do I earn this grace of Jesus? The answer is an emphatic no. You do not deserve the grace of Christ. And so, yes, on the surface, that sounds like bad news, and it is apart from Jesus. You don't deserve this. You haven't done enough good things. You haven't done enough acts of charity or whatever it is. You haven't done enough to deserve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords laying down his life for you. Mm-hmm. And the reality is you never will. Like, there is never a moment in your life when you deserve the unmerited grace of Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting on the fence and stepping back saying, I can't come to God and I can't strengthen this relationship because I haven't done enough, you're exactly right. In fact, you're at a good spot of recognizing you haven't done enough. And so as you walk in and you see the people in the church, you're also seeing a whole group of people that are beneficiaries of the unmerited grace of Jesus Christ. Like, that is why we're all here. Now, we know in the church we're filled with flawed people, and so we can put on different masks, but you need to know the truth. As you walk into the church, you are seeing people who are all, if they have been saved by Christ, they are saved in spite of their sin. It's not that any of them deserved it. You know, I know people look at us as pastors and see us up on the stage or see us, you know, out in the congregation, and they may think, man, I cannot imagine how holy their lives must be. Now, there is a certain element of, because we're in the positions we are, we have been told, hey, we're going to be judged stricter. So we have to have a certain, there's an element of accountability to the Lord in that. But I think people look at us and say, man, like, it's just got to be Bible studies and hymns all the time. And it's like, man, if you would see, if you would spend 5 minutes at my house, you'd recognize that's not always the case. Like, I am a flawed human. You're a flawed human. Like, this is the story of all of us. And so the problem is we've also taken that for the unbeliever, and they look at the church and they'll say, man, all of these people must have everything figured out. Mm-hmm. Or they figure it out and they're like, man, they're all hypocrites.
Yeah.
And it's like, we are all sinners deserving of the wrath of God.
Yeah.
And the reason that we're here is because of the unmerited grace of Jesus. So you've got to start there and recognizing that this barrier to entry that I think you're right is of Satan is put there for you to feel like you don't deserve it, but you don't. And like, that's why it's grace. So we got to start here. I don't deserve it. I've got to surrender to Christ first.
Yeah. Well, and just this idea that I got to fix my life. I got to, you know, do all these things so that God will accept me back.
Yeah.
Isaiah 64, 6 says this, all of us have become like something unclean.
Yeah.
And all our righteous acts are like a polluted garment or like a filthy rag.
Yeah.
And I've heard, I haven't done the study in this in a while. I heard it said that that filthy garment is kind of like a menstrual cloth.
Oh.
And so it's that.
That paints a picture.
Yeah, it paints a picture.
Yeah.
But then it goes on to say, all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind, which, you know, we're in the middle of August. It's not quite autumn yet. Mm-hmm. But just that picture, when we're disconnected from God, we wither away like a leaf. Our iniquities cause withering. It causes us to not live a full life. Mm-hmm. And we're carried away. I think of the leaves that fall to the ground, they wither away. They blow away because there's no substance there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our lives look like that when we are disconnected from God. So how do we, if we're not connected, how do we reconnect?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got to step back and be honest with yourself first. And the first question you have to ask is, have I truly surrendered to Jesus? Because if you haven't, then playing church, going to church, like it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like that God's not going to meet you when you go to church, or you should wait until that. Like, but what I am saying is, let's not buy into the lie that church attendance is what saves you. Like, church attendance is a result of the saving grace of Christ. Like, he's made us a new person, but he's also put us in a new family. And so he's called us to fellowship with one another, to worship with one another corporately. So I gotta be careful about making sure that people don't think, well, okay, good, I go to church and that's what saves me, that's what justifies mm-hmm. me before God. No, that's not it.
And on the flip side, we don't want people to think that we're saying, well, I don't have to go to church, because it's not. No,
right.
It is an element of it.
Right.
And you talked about that a few weeks ago. We got to the passage in Hebrews. You
know, yes.
Don't give up on meeting together,
yes,
as some are in the habit of doing. There is an element of this that's come together. We're made for community.
Yep.
Come together, worship, fellowship, serve together. So it's a part of it, but it's not the saving part.
Right. Yes. It's an act of obedience, yeah, not an act of salvation. And so, so I think let's first step back and ask the question, man, have I surrendered my life to Christ? Am I trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross? And I think kind of I use process, but I want to make sure I use that term loosely. It's just the way it's ordered in Scripture is found in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church. So the entity that we still see alive today, this is the institution of it. And it's found as Peter steps up to all of Israel there in Jerusalem, and he's really laying out the bad news first. Like, this is what you've done. Mm-hmm. This is who you are. You are sinful men and women. In fact, you killed Jesus, the Messiah.
Yeah.
And so he says all of that. And here's where the Holy Spirit begins to change people's hearts. You see in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. So let's break this apart here. Repent means agree with God about yourself and turn to him and not your own desires. So it's this idea that God says, hey, you are a sinful man or woman. And this is what he says to everyone. You are a sinner. And so, one, we agree with God on that. yes, I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve to be cast out of his presence. I agree with him in that. And so because of that, I recognize salvation isn't found in myself. It's in trusting him. And so repent, turn from your sin, turn to God. And he says the next thing, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, baptism, and we've talked about this in a previous episode, this is the necessary response to the finished work of Jesus. So we're not saying, hey, it's this simple act of getting wet that is the saving grace. No, it's the necessary response to the finished work of Christ. So I'm believing Jesus, I'm believing the gospel, I trust that I am who he says I am before Christ, and I trust who he's going to make me after believing in him. And I'm going to repent, I'm going to turn from my sin, and I'm going to be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And so he's again saying, okay, you need to turn to me. And here's the key in this. You need to allow, once you're saved and you're forgiven and you repent and are baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. This is the thing that is going to, this is the person that will transform you.
Yeah.
Like there is an element, and there has to be an element of transformation in our walk with Christ. He is too powerful not to change us. And so we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, not always instantaneously, by the way. You're not going to wake up with a whole new set of desires, most likely, but it's as you walk this life out in obedience to him and trust that Christ is enough, the Holy Spirit's going to transform you.
Yeah. Right before where you picked up, as Peter finishes his sermon, this is what they're responding to, but that final verse in verse 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. And I think this last phrase is where we need to focus real quick.
Yeah.
Both Lord and Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And often we come to Jesus saying, I need a Savior. I need a Messiah. I need someone to fix me.
Yeah.
But we miss out on that idea that he is Lord.
Yeah.
That word, Kyrios, I might be butchering it, but it's a title. It's a word signifying authority.
Mm-hmm.
He's the boss. He's the one in control. Yeah. He's the one in command. So that repentance comes as a point of your boss is saying you're not doing the job correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to fix my work.
Yeah.
Because my boss is not happy with my production.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not just the one who saves us. He absolutely is.
Yep.
But he's the one in charge. And yeah. So once we recognize we need saved, we say, okay, I need to change the things that the boss, the Lord, the, mm-hmm. the commander, the chief isn't happy with.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we come and we say, God, I want you to fix me. I want to be saved. But then when it comes to actually making the changes, like, I didn't mean that much,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I just want to save. Like, don't right. tell me what to do.
And I think back to my life. I was like 23, 22, 24, somewhere around there. And my life was a mess. Mm. I mean, I was working at a great job that I loved in a pharmacy. But I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. I was playing in a band, go out on the weekends and party, drink, struggled with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of got to the point in my life where I'm like, this is not working.
Yeah.
And so I called out to God because I needed a Messiah.
Yep.
But in that moment, and I'm not one that it's not like I heard an audible voice.
Yeah.
You know, the roof of my room opened up. And
yeah.
But I remember being in my room and saying, I need something different in my life. And as clear as can be within me, I heard God speak to me and say, then you've got to be all in.
Yeah.
Like, you got to follow me. And now that doesn't mean that I changed my life immediately and had it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But I was, okay, God. And so I started reading my Bible. I went to church and started getting involved, and I had a great people around me, great friends who, some great friends who encouraged me in that. Yeah. I had other friends who I kind of had to distance myself from because they didn't appreciate the changes I was trying to make. I had people at my church like Kenny Todd who probably put me in a position, you know, with boundaries and safeguards, but, you know, he's like, yeah, come help out with a youth group.
Yeah.
And now as a minister, I'm like, man, would I have put my, would I have put me in that situation? Yeah. Not that I was bad, you know, or had any, but it's like, I didn't know what I was talking about or doing, but he trusted that God was going to use me.
Yeah.
And it all started because not only did I say, God, I need a savior. I need you to be in charge. Cause I've been in charge of my life for long enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a poor job of being in control.
Yep. Yeah. That's all. I appreciate you sharing that. Cause I think that brings some authenticity to this. Because I'm very similar, you know, struggle with pornography, you know, sought after baseball was my idol, was my identity. And so that was who made me who I was, you know, and sought after all those things and neglected the Lord. I still had a knowledge based on the way I was brought up and raised, but, man, I wasn't living it. And I very similar is like, I have tried this my own way. And if I can just be frank, I sucked at it. Like you try to do the right thing, but my heart was wicked. And so even the right things weren't even the right things. And it's like, until you surrender to God. And I love the way you put that, the analogy you used of, hey, the boss says some things need to change, but here's the grace in Christ in this is yes, there are things that need to change. And yet he also gives you his spirit to equip you to change.
Yeah.
It's because I think so many people think, man, I've got to do this all on my own. No, just be obedient to him. And he's faithful to walk with you and transform you. And it's a lifelong journey. This it's called sanctification, if you want to get technical, but it is a lifelong journey of being made more and more into the image of Christ, you know, being desiring the things that he desires, doing the things that he would do. Like, this is the thing that the Holy Spirit will do in you as you keep surrendering to him. But I think there's an important element in all of this that quite honestly, I mean, I've been in ministry for 10 years now, and it's really just become real to me over the last few months. And I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but God wants to father you through this. And I think we look at God as this very distant, and a lot of it's based on your own relationship with your dad. And man, I love my dad. My dad has been, the firm foundation a lot of my life. And so I had a great dad growing up, but there also is this element of you just view God as different, regardless of your own father in some ways, distant and always unhappy with you and looking for the first chance he can get to write you off. And yet God wants to father you. Like, he's not going to abandon those that he has called, those that he has saved through a son. Like, he's not going to abandon you in this. But be obedient to him. Allow him to correct you. Allow him to guide you. Like, he is the perfect father.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of us, especially maybe for men, maybe it's easier to kind of cast off this idea of God as father because it just seems weird. But God is the perfect father who wants to father you. So surrender to that. Allow him to father you, and he will be faithful to walk with you in this.
Yeah. We sometimes think of God being father in the mold of the father that we had, mm-hmm. when really it's the reverse. God is, our dads should be father in the image of God as
that's
our father.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Some of them fail at that. And we have to recognize that that's them failing to live up to the image that God has, but God's not failed in that.
Right.
Others, I also had a great dad, have a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's still with us. but my dad was great growing up as a kid, still great now. But that didn't mean he was perfect.
Yeah.
But he was striving to live up to the example that his dad had, but more importantly, that God the Father had.
Yeah.
Yep. But we get that backwards sometimes.
That's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Our dads are trying to live up to the image of God. God's not living up to the image of our dads.
That's a great point. Yeah. I think there is, if we could boil all of this down to one thing, it's surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender to the finished work of Jesus. And here's what this means. Like, you have nothing to bring to the table as it comes to earning your salvation. Like, you're not, you and God aren't doing this together. Mm-hmm. He has completed the work through his son on the cross. You've got to believe that, and you got to trust in that. And now the response to the finished work of Jesus is, okay, he's my savior. And you brought this up. Now he's my Lord. Like, I'm going to surrender my life to him. This new life he's given me, I'm going to surrender that to him and walk in obedience to him. Dalton specifically, but I know there's a lot of people who may be wrestling with this. Here's the important element of this. Don't do it alone. You need to surround yourself with, God-fearing men and women who will hold you accountable to this, but will encourage you on this journey. Because a lone wolf Christian, as cool as that sounds, is one in danger. Mm-hmm. It is really hard to walk this out on your own and try to figure things out. So tap into those who have been on this journey longer than you. Tap into that wisdom and allow God to use them to encourage you in that, because I think that is such a key thing. You need people in your corner to encourage you in this journey. And yeah. If you don't have one, man, call your local church. There should be nothing more that a pastor would want than someone is in his community reaching out and saying, I'm ready to surrender my life. Can you help me walk with this?
Absolutely.
I can't imagine a better call.
Absolutely. Like,
we get all kinds of conversations. There's nothing cooler than that. Somebody saying, I'm at the end of myself. I'm ready for a change. Mm-hmm. Like, man, that's why we do what we do. That's what a believer does, what they do. It's like, we know what God has done in our lives, and I'm ready for you to see that for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. And so I guess my final thought, just be obedient. Like you said, even when you mess up, God is still going to be faithful. He's going to give you forgiveness. You're not going to change overnight. It's not going to be something that you wake up and say, okay, well, I made Jesus Lord, and so now my life's fixed. Yeah. It's going to be step after step. You're going to stumble. You're going to feel like you've taken three steps back after one step forward, but you just keep taking that step towards what God is calling you to, mm-hmm. and he's going to be faithful in it. I knew that whenever I made changes in my life, one of the things I knew is I had a terrible mouth. Mm-hmm. The way I spoke just was awful. And I knew that needed to change. It's just something I was convicted about. And I just had to make that decision. I'm not going to cuss anymore.
Yeah.
Does that mean I never cussed again? No.
You should hear him around this place.
But it's not like my goal was to not cuss.
Yeah.
Now, as opposed to, well, I'm just going to cuss one less time today than I did yesterday. No, it was, I'm not going to. That doesn't mean I went from 100 to zero, but I made that the goal. And my wife uses that against me now so many times. I'm like, well, I really need to work on this. She's like, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
That's what you did when you stopped cussing.
Yeah. I will say I've never heard you cuss.
Yeah. I really try not to.
And, yeah.
And that's something that I just feel convicted about, and feel like it's something that, you know, when the Bible says to watch your tongue, they're just words, but they mean something in our culture.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to, you know, see me and have me speaking one way. I try and speak, the same no matter where I am, try and have integrity in that way. And
yeah. And I think you would say, because I never want those things to get out of order. Like, you would say, yeah, this was my response of obedience to salvation. I didn't clean up my mouth as a way to come to Jesus and say, hey, quit cussing, so I'm good now, right? Like, it's a response to what Jesus has done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the new life he's given you.
Yeah, and that probably wasn't even the first thing. I just, when I started trying to fix my life, I'm like, well, you know, what can I do? I don't know why I picked James, but that seems to be one that probably maybe someone recommended it to me, but I got to that verse where it's like, tame your tongue. Tongue can, you know, set a fire ablaze or it can steer a ship. And I'm like, yeah, I really need to work on that. Part of that's, you know, I knew how to play the game. You know, I cussed a lot, but never at home.
Yeah.
And never around mom and dad.
That's right. Yeah.
I bet my mom and dad would probably say the same thing. I don't think we ever heard you cuss. I'm like, well, yeah, I was good at not doing it when you were around.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I really just felt convicted about that. So I worked on it. But it was just a step of obedience, one after another. And that's not to say that I've got my life all figured out now. Like you said, it's just being obedient step after step, saying, okay, God, what do you want me to work on? How can I be more like you today?
Yeah, and I think both of us can stand here and look back and see the transformation that God has done in our individual lives, and you can say with absolute certainty that God has been the faithful one in this journey. Absolutely. And I failed him since my salvation, since submitting to Christ. I have failed him so many times, and so I never want people to think, man, life after salvation is perfect. Just like you said, you know, I don't want you to think I'm sinless since then, but also don't want you to think that my life has become an abundance of health, wealth, and prosperity since then either, because as you well know, life sometimes gets harder after salvation.
Yeah.
Not always, but in some areas it does.
In some ways it does.
But yet we both know that this life is just, it's not the end. Like it's not the promised life to come. That's still to come. And so, in the meantime, surrender to him, trust in him. Does it mean life's going to be perfect? No, far from it. But make no mistake about it. You'll look back as you walk on this journey and say, man, the one who has been faithful in this is Christ. And so he is worthy of our surrender and he's worthy of our trust.
And he will change your heart.
Yeah.
That the things that you desire after now or that you used to desire after no longer are appealing to you.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
And you can look back and say, that is absolutely a work of God.
Yeah.
Because I know how much I desired it in my flesh.
Yeah.
So, Dalton, I love the question, man. You asked what so many people are thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you submitting that question to us. Again, if you have a question, you can always put that in the YouTube comments. Obviously, I read them, so I'll get to that. But also, you can message us at question@redbrushcc.org. And we'll include that in some future episodes. We've got a lot of questions that have come in. We may even do a rapid fire round in a few episodes. And so we love the questions. Keep that up. Keep sending those to us. And we'll strive together to walk and think biblically as we answer those through God's word. So please leave us a rating and a review on whatever platform you're watching this or listening to this. Leave us a comment. Leave us a thumbs up, subscribe on YouTube. And make sure you share this with more people. We love the engagement. We love to answer these questions. And so we appreciate you guys taking time to help further this podcast along. So, hey.
And keep the coffee suggestions coming.
Absolutely. Those are flowing in, too.
Yeah.
So it's just pretty cool, and we'll get to those. So, hey, for Alex and myself, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll see you back here next time on Since You Asked.